The reading can be found on Ephesians chapter 2 and starting at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Val, thank you so much for bringing us that reading. On a seat near you, there should be an outline for this morning's sermon, because we're looking at more than one Bible passage. We start a new series today. If you don't have one to hand, please raise a hand and the welcome team will bring you one. And then Pathfinders, there's a special handout for you, which has got some pictures on it. And so again, if you don't have one of these Pathfinders, please raise a hand and Richard Crane will bring you a Pathfinders outline. That would be excellent. Bernard Williams would like a Pathfinders or normal handout for you, Bernard. You've got one there. Excellent. Very good. Let's pray as we consider God's word. Father, we thank you that in your love, you speak to us in the words of Scripture. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Help us to see the wonder of belonging to Jesus Christ. And help us to see also the wonder of belonging to his people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How would you feel if you belonged to the England football team? So at the moment, they're doing very well. They're at the top of Group C. They're poised for glory in the Euros. How would you feel if you were part of that team? You might say, I'd feel surprised because I haven't played football for many years. But remember, the team isn't just the players. You've got the support staff, people who arrange accommodation and transport. How would you feel to be part of that wider England football team? You'd feel daunted, but also privileged and excited about what you could achieve together in the tournament ahead. How would you feel if you were part of the National Symphony Orchestra? Whether it's the first violin at the front, or the one who stands at the back with the triangle and just has to ding it a couple of times during the concerts. I think you'd feel so privileged and so excited about the summer of concerts ahead of you. And how do you feel about being part of the church, the family of Jesus Christ? Today we are beginning a series of five sermons entitled Body Beautiful. This series will be preached across all the St. Mary's congregations, but staggered on different weeks so as not to overload the preachers. And in these sermons, we will see that Jesus came not just to save isolated individuals, but to redeem a people for himself. Jesus lived and died to create a new people, a new family, a new body. And if we trust in Jesus, we are part of that body. That is something which we should feel privileged and excited about. But I think there are many reasons why we might not feel that sense of excitement. One is disappointment. You know, perhaps church has not lived up to what we would expect or what we would like. Another reason is unpopularity. We're often told, aren't we, that fewer and fewer people are part of a church. And the message which the church proclaims is often unpopular. And it's hard to go against the flow. Another reason why we may not feel excited to be part of God's people is weariness. So perhaps for years, decades, we've been serving and loving in the church family. And truth be told, we're tired. We're weary. Another possible reason is legalism. Perhaps we've been coming to church because we think we ought to. We've lost sight of how it flows from what Jesus has done for us. Well, my prayer is that by the end of this series of sermons, we will feel privileged and excited to belong to the people of God. And I've called the series Body Beautiful because I want us to see the beauty and the wonder of God's purposes for his church. And I want us also to see how we can live out that beauty in our fellowship here at St. Mary's, so that together we are a body beautiful. As the series goes on, we will see why we gather, what God wants us to do when we gather. We'll consider how we love one another as members of one body. We'll think about how we welcome people, not just into our services, but into our family. We'll consider how together we witness to a lost world. But today our focus is what church is. What is it that we belong to if we trust in Jesus? Now, there is so much we could say about what church is, about what we belong to. I'm going to limit our study to just one book of the Bible, the book of Ephesians. We're going to see what that book tells us about what it is we belong to as those who trust in Jesus Christ. And the first thing we see in Ephesians is that the church is the body of Christ. If we trust in Jesus, we belong to the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and you can follow either on the outline or in the Bible as you prefer. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And God placed all things under his, Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. These words tell us that God has made the risen Lord Jesus head over everything, ruler over the whole universe. And the risen Jesus uses his power, end of verse 22, for the church. He uses the power for the good of his people because his people are his body. Now, this may be a familiar truth, but it is amazing. It speaks of the union between Jesus Christ and his people. Jesus' people are united to him, just as the parts of our body are united to our heads. And it speaks as well of the union between God's people. We are united to one another as members of one body because we are united to him, our head. The Bible speaks of church on two levels. There's the universal church, which is made up of all those who trust in Christ all around the world and all down through history. And then there is the local church, believers in Jesus gathered in one place at one time. And the Bible describes both the universal church and the local church as the body of Christ. The universal church is the body of Christ. The local church is also the body of Christ. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul returns to this image of the body. You can see Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, as we speak the truth of God's word to one another in love, together we grow to become the mature body of Christ, the body that Jesus, our head, wants us to be. Verse 16 tells us that this growth comes from him, from Jesus, our head, and it happens as each part does its work. So we know that our human bodies depend on our heads. I'm told that we have around 100 billion neurons in our heads. I think it varies a bit from person to person, but it's around 100 billion. And I'm told that each one of those neurons sends between 5 and 20 messages every second. So just think of it. Your head is sending all of those messages to the rest of your body. That's what keeps our bodies going. The instructions coming from the head. And it's the same with the church. The church has a head. It's not the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ. And his instructions, his word to us in the Bible, is what keeps us going and keeps us alive as his body. Again, thinking of the human body, we know that the members of our body are intimately connected to each other and depend on each other. Think about how the heart is joined to the rest of the body by all of those veins and arteries and capillaries and muscles and ligaments and nerves. Think about how the heart depends on the lungs. Without the lungs, the heart is no good. Same the other way around. Without the heart, the lungs are useless. And so it is with the church. We're very different to each other. But if we trust in Jesus, we are intimately connected and we depend on one another. We live in a world where people are increasingly isolated and lonely. We live in a world where the differences between people lead to conflict and division. We live in a world which is crying out for connection and cooperation. And if we trust in Jesus Christ, thanks to him, we are part of the body of Christ. We're united to Jesus, our head, and we're united to each other, all different and all needed. And this is a beautiful thing. We want to show the beauty of this in our church at St. Mary's. We'll have a whole talk on how we do this later in the series, but for now it means two things. It means that we must listen to and obey our head, Jesus. That's what keeps us going and keeps us alive as a body. We need to listen to his instructions as we read the Bible and trust and obey what we read. And it means also that we need to love and serve one another. For we are members of one body, intimately connected, different, dependent on each other. It's as we love and support one another that the body remains healthy. It's as we use our different gifts and skills in the church that we are all enabled to keep going and growing in Christ. So this is what we belong to if we trust in Jesus. Nothing less than the body of Christ. As the book of Ephesians continues, we see there is more as well. The church is the body of Christ. Next, the church is the temple of God. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul reminds his readers that once they were foreigners and strangers to God's people, but now they're members of God's household or family. And in these words, God's people are likened to a building. And our foundation is the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets were the people who wrote the Bible. The foundation of the church is the truth of Scripture. That's what we stand on. That's what keeps us stable. And our cornerstone is Jesus Christ, who we meet in the Scriptures. He gives the church our strength and our shape. And we see in these words that we're not just any old building. No, together we are a temple in which God lives by his Spirit. In Old Testament times, God's temple was in Jerusalem, and have an artist's impression of it here. The temple was a glorious building, beautifully decorated, covered with gold. And the most glorious thing about the temple was it was there that God dwelt. It was there that God had chosen to set his presence. So people could come to the temple and pray and bring their sacrifices and meet with the living God. And the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, never to be rebuilt. And God's temple now is his people. It's marvelously true that the Spirit dwells in each believer individually. But here there is a greater truth in view. The Spirit dwells in us collectively. Together we are the temple of God. See, when God's people gather, we meet with God. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. It's not the building that makes us the temple. Whether we gather in the splendor of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, or whether we gather in the church garden as we did during COVID, when God's people come together, he is present. We hear God address us as the scriptures are read and faithfully preached. We see God's signs in the signs of the Lord's Supper and baptism. We encounter the love of God in the love of his people. Now again, we live in a world where people do not know God. People have turned away from God in rebellion and do not have relationship with him. We live in a world where more than anything else, people need to meet with God. And yet they don't know where to turn, and people are turning to all the wrong places to try and meet with God. And yet if we trust in Jesus, thanks to him, together we are the temple of God. When we gather, God is with us and we meet with him. It's a beautiful thing. And again, we want to live out this beauty here at St. Mary's, and it means at least three things. It means that we must stand on the foundation of the Bible with Jesus as our cornerstone. That's why it's so important that we check everything we hear and everything we believe against the truth of God's word. If we tamper with the foundation, taking away from it or adding on to it, if we don't stand on the cornerstone of Jesus, well, the temple will collapse. It means as well that we should have a sense of awe and wonder as we meet. Because when we gather, we meet with the living God. Why would we want to be anyone else? When we come eager and expectant, that's how we should gather, because we know that God is at work amongst us. And also, we must be accessible and outward looking, so that those who do not yet know God can find it easy to come and join us and meet with him amongst us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 envisages non-believers visiting the gathering of God's people and hearing the teaching and seeing the love of the community and exclaiming, God is really among you. Later this week, I'm going to be putting out a questionnaire so that the whole church can send in ideas about how we can make our gatherings as accessible as possible so that it's easy for people who don't know God to join us and to meet with him amongst us. This is what we belong to when we trust in Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the temple of God, and then third of all in the book of Ephesians, the bride of Christ. When we trust in Jesus, we belong to his church, which is the bride of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So when Paul teaches husbands about how to love their wives, the model he takes us to is the way that Christ loves his bride, the church. We see in these words that Christ loved the church so much he gave himself up for her. He went to the cross to die to save her. We see that he did this to make her holy. Holy means set apart from the sin of this world, to belong to Jesus as his special people. When we trust in Christ, he forgives us our sins. He makes us holy. We don't always live up to that holiness, but we have that position of being set apart from the world to belong to Jesus. And when Christ returns, he will present the church to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. For now the church is so often stained with sin. But when Christ comes, the church will be like him at last, radiant and spotless, and the church will live with him as his perfect bride. Again, it's wonderfully true that Jesus loves each one of us individually, but there is a deeper truth here, that Jesus loves his church. He came to save a people, to belong to him as his bride. I wonder if you followed in the news 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, the wedding of the Duke of Westminster. Did anyone see any of the pictures of that? Here he is on the screen, the Duke of Westminster with his bride, Olivia Henson. And Duke of Westminster, being one of the richest men in the country, went to wonderful lengths to show his love for his bride. So did you know that he arranged for the aisle of Chester Cathedral to be lined with maple trees, specially brought in? He paid for 100,000 flowers to be delivered to Chester city centre so that not just the church but the whole city centre was beautifully decorated. And he even paid for free ice creams in city centre cafes for all comers so that the tourists could join in with the celebration. I think that is wonderful. But it is nothing. It's nothing compared to how our bridegroom Jesus showed his love for the church. He's the king of the universe, and he gave himself on the cross, not to make us a duchess, but to make us holy, set apart for him. We live in a world which is crying out for faithful love, for love that lasts. If we trust in Jesus, we are part of his bride, eternally and perfectly loved by him. It's a beautiful truth. And so we want to live out that beauty in our fellowship. And it means that we should love the church that Jesus loves, both locally and globally. See, we should each of us care about the health and beauty of the local church here at St. Mary's. Because we know that the church is Jesus' bride. He loves her. So we should as well. It's easy to be so parochial and forget about the worldwide church. But Christ loves the worldwide church too, and so should we. It's why we should pray for and have real partnership with our mission partners and God's church around the world. And it means that together we must work to be holy. See, Jesus' desire for his bride is that we're set apart from the sin of this world to be his special people. There's so much false teaching today. False teaching, even within our denomination, the Church of England, tells us that in order to be relevant, we must be like the world. That's utter nonsense, isn't it? In order to be relevant, we must be like our husband, Jesus Christ. Our calling as a church is not to fit in with this world, but to be holy in how we love each other, in our attitude to money, our attitude to sex and relationships, how we value human life in every way that we can think of. The church is the bride of Christ, and so we are called to be holy. Well, friends, this is what we belong to if we trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing less than the body of Christ, the temple of the living God and the bride of Christ. And the way we belong to her is to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many people in the world today who feel that they don't belong to anything, who feel that they don't fit in anywhere. But whoever you are, if you trust in Christ, you belong here. You belong to the church of God. And if you don't know Jesus yet, keep coming. Get to know Jesus so that you too are ready to put your faith in him and belong to his people. We would feel so excited and so privileged to be part of that England football team, even if we were just booking the transport. It would be so thrilling to be part of the National Symphony Orchestra, even if just on the triangle. How much more privileged and awestruck we should feel to belong to the Church of God. In a world where so many are lonely and isolated, thanks to Jesus, we are members of his body, united to him and united to each other. So let's listen to our head, Jesus, and love and serve each other. In a world where so many people need to meet with the living God and don't know where to turn, if we trust in Jesus, we're stones in his temple. When we gather, we meet with God. So let's keep standing on that foundation of the scriptures. Let's gather with awe and expectancy. And let's make sure that we're accessible so that others can meet him amongst us. And we live in a world that is desperate for faithful love. If we trust in Christ, we belong to his bride. So let's love the church that Jesus loves and work together to be holy. God's purpose for his church is beautiful. Let's live out that beauty together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we belong. We belong to his body, to your temple, and to his bride. Please help us to treasure your purposes for your church. And please show us, Lord, as we continue through this preaching series, how we can live out that beauty in our fellowship here at St. Mary's. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.